Hello, and welcome to All Charged Up, the podcast that brings state, county, and local municipality resources together with industry experts as we discuss a variety of topics such as EV infrastructure, renewables, and the electrical contracting industry in DuPage. I'm your host, Karen Charvat, and in today's episode, we will be talking about what's to come with EVs in 2025 and incentives with Tim Milburn of Greenways to Go. Tim, so great to have you back on All Charged Up.
Great to see you too, Karen. Glad to be here.
Very good. So, Tim, you know, we have talked about incentives, and since we're winding up here at the end of 2024, I thought it was a good idea for us to just roll back a little bit and review all the different types and categories of incentives that are out there for our listeners.
That's a good idea. I think one of the things that when it comes to incentives, a lot of people can get confused or overwhelmed. I know this because I've been doing it for a long time, my whole adult life. I've been in a lot of different industries that were incentive driven. And today I'd like to kind of show some of the pathways to reduce anxiety. And then find how to find the resources, the myriad of incentives that are out there, and look at how those can be opportunities for an individual or a business or a municipality, and what are those resources.
That's great. Anything that can reduce the anxiety, especially in December, we like to hear about.
Right. It's a Christmas present.
There you go. Let's start like peeling back. And why don't you go through all the different types, the categories, if you will. We'll start there because there's so much.
Yeah, I think, I've heard people use and perhaps misuse the term incentive or subsidy. And what I like to do is kind of separate them because it makes a difference in how you apply, who you apply, what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a wide range of incentives that are available. And so I break it down by where's the money coming from, the funding source? Is it federal or state, local governments, or perhaps the utilities? The technology itself, whether it's a vehicle or an EV charging station or the infrastructure to support it, there's some manufacturing, and there's training and education, and job creation programs also that have incentives in the EV industry. And the other thing is who's applying. Is it a business? Is it a public entity? Is it a multifamily or single family dwelling? Is it just an EV owner? So those are kind of the categories of people that get involved, and it makes a big difference as to what you're seeking, depending on where you fit into that matrix.
For sure. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted you to kind of restate them all, because I do think that people use that term a little bit interchanging. And, you know, for this discussion, let's start out by talking about like the individual EV owner or potential owner.
Okay. So if you're thinking of purchasing an electric vehicle, there's programs where you can get straight up cash either through a rebate process or through a voucher program where basically you get money when you buy the car up front at point of purchase. There's also tax credit, so that comes off your federal income tax. And for nonprofits, they have programs for direct tax payments, which basically means you get the same thing as a tax entity, even though you don't pay taxes, such as a municipality.
Oh, that's really great.
And then there's energy credits, which can apply to a resident, but also to a business or a municipality by signing up for different programs with the utility. And then there's things like green energy credits that may or may not apply for a different type of incentive.
Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about one aspect of this, and that is eligibility and the guidelines that one would need to kind of check out if they're going to go for it.
Right. So it's a really important and big one that the federal government, state government have kind of set aside a philosophy. At the federal level, it's called Justice 40, which means 40% of the funding is committed to low-income or disadvantaged communities. Mm-hmm. To give them a lift up and
sure.
Hopefully level the playing field.
Sure.
So the eligibility often falls on annual mean income in a household, or if it's a business, there may be some criteria as to where they're located, certain census tracts or zip codes. And also when you buy a vehicle, there's an eligibility criteria for. Like you don't get any incentives if the car costs over $80,000, just as an example. So that's an eligibility requirement. Another important thing is you have to pay attention to is the term, which means when is it available? So there's, you know, you may think you're going to do something, but they may only be available in a certain time window.
The funding, you mean?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They could be annual. It could be ongoing. Mm-hmm. And then you'll find funding that pops up once a year and it's gone quickly.
Mm-hmm. And then what about for, you know, fleets, commercial entities that are looking for fleets?
There are specific programs at the state and federal level. There's tax credits. There are vehicle rebates. There are incentives for the make-ready infrastructure, which is basically, you know, all the conduit and wiring and new panels and such.
Love that.
Yeah. So that's a big one for the contractors.
Fantastic. Well, you know, one of the things that I wanted to also remind folks, just to go back for a moment, when we were talking about the eligibility guidelines and the funding windows, I know Illinois EPA is opening their next rebate cycle on January 21st, 2025, and that will close on April 30th, right? But, you know, you and I both know those funds go quick, like get snapped up quick, right?
Right. So they've been doing this. It's a $4,000 rebate for the vehicle, new purchase or new vehicle. And the first two cycles, I think they've lasted less than a month.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
So when I did it, I applied the first day and I did get the rebate.
Great.
I was pleased.
Mm-hmm.
But 60% of the funding goes to low income purchasers. So there's a fixed number of EVs you can buy. If you're not low income, and then there's a fixed number for low income. And the low income ones, there's typically that funding cycle lasts a little longer. But they've been burning through it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's really good to know. And I just think it's a good reminder for folks to be very timely then with those applications again. And folks, all this information, all these links will be available under this episode on our website, powerforwarddupage.com. Tim, let's talk too about, you know, EV sales growth. Forecasts are showing that it's slowing, but Gartner forecasts that there will be, you know, 85 million EVs on the road by the end of 2025, which is quite impressive. But it also kind of brings to mind for me the used EV, you know, market. And if everybody's buying these EVs, there's got to be some like used ones out there too, right?
Sure. It's been talked about for some time. I mean, EVs started basically 2009, and there were, you know, three companies selling them. And for a long time, there weren't that many out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it
was Tesla, Nissan, and Chevy. And so now with the numbers you're talking about, I think we're somewhere over 4 million EVs in the U.S. now. And in Illinois and countrywide, new sales, it's about 10% of new vehicle sales. You know, a couple of years ago, it was 3%.
That's
so,
right.
You know, it's taking off. You know, the range anxiety is being averted because of the infrastructure being installed. And by the way, the cars are, if you get all the incentives, you'll spend less than if you bought a comparable internal combustion engine vehicle. So people are waking up to it, plus the sustainability benefits. So it's taking off. And I would also say that a lot of the incentives came out in 2021, 2022, and the adoption rate kind of picked up. And it has slowed down. Part of it is competition. There are a lot of choices of vehicles.
Yep.
But all, if you look at the numbers, it's still on a steady climb.
Right, right. I just feel like, you know, the forecast I've been seeing, it's showing that it's slowing, but, you know, definitely still uptick, which is great, great to see.
I think if we can get the infrastructure in mass, you know, where the range anxiety disappears, we'll see another rise. The other thing is you're not going to buy an EV if you don't need a new car.
Right.
So there's always that cycle too. But I think it's going to pick up again.
Definitely. And so what else then can you offer our listeners who are, you know, really looking to get started and, you know, take the jump?
So as I mentioned before, there's, you know, a series of kind of this box of different choices of where the money might come from. And so there's a number of things, and we'll put it on the Power Forward site, the links. But basically, I categorize it as kind of the higher level, which there's some databases out there, which kind of for the incentive geek, they've got everything you can dream of. And the one is the U.S. Department of Energy's alternative fuel data center. There's a
and that's
lot.
That's everything, right? That's yeah. all energy related resources.
Right. It's an awesome. It focuses on transportation, but it's got oodles of stuff for every state and region and utility, et cetera. And there's another one called the Database of State Incentives for Renewables and Efficiency, known as the DESIRE site. And those are just—
Wouldn't be an episode of All Charged Up without our acronyms, Tim. So thanks for that one.
Okay. So at any rate, those are just for the kind of that's if you want to get into it. If you want to just focus on EVs, EV chargers, and the infrastructure, there's the group that I'm involved with called Illinois Alliance for Clean Transportation, or IACT.
Yes.
You can go out to their website, and under their thing, it's got a resources tab, and then under that, it's funding and incentives, and it lists everything that would apply. It'll drive you to the programs. It's got all the links. It's a really good starting point.
It's a fantastic resource right here in Illinois. Absolutely.
So I'm going to go through a few of those because it gets to be a little bit onerous to go through everything.
Mm-hmm.
And also, as I told Karen, I've put together what I'm calling my Linkopedia, and I'll be me having it available on my Greenways to Go website shortly. But it's basically the subset of information that anybody interested in the EVs or charging can benefit from.
Anxiously awaiting that release, Tim.
Yeah, it's a hot item.
It's going to be hot.
So what I wanted to do is just go through sort of the highlights on the vehicles and chargers and the infrastructure.
Let's do it.
What's out there?
Yeah.
So on the EV side, we've kind of touched on it a little bit. So the Internal Revenue Service offers tax credits. You got to be a part of your tax filing. $7,500 for a new EV. You know, you'll get it after you apply. So if you apply, if you buy an EV in May, you'll have to wait till the next cycle.
Gotcha.
There's a commercial version of that goes up to $40,000 versus $7,500 for a personal vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one if you purchase a used vehicle, used EV, it's $4,000 off your taxes.
Yeah, that's great.
Pretty nice. And you know, if you're interested, they all have the some restrictions apply.
Small print.
Yeah, exactly. but the key things, you know, is it's, you know, for really expensive EVs, it doesn't apply. If you buy certain vehicles, if they're built overseas, it doesn't apply. So you can go out to these websites and it'll tell you which is which.
Fantastic.
Then, as Karen mentioned, in January, we're starting the new Illinois EV rebate, which is good for $4,000. Mm-hmm. And when I bought my EV last year, I got the $7,500 and the $4,000. So that's $11,000. And then Chevy kicked in $5,000 later for off the manufacturing MSRP, which stunned me. So I ended up getting a really good deal on my car.
So you're smiling every day driving that,
mm-hmm.
every day.
And also ComEd has a program, and this is targeting fleets, and they have a low income group. So what ComEd has done, much like I said before, they have funding pools that are different depending if you're in their what they call their select group, which is income qualified. And it only applies to battery electric, so no plug-in hybrids. You have to be a ComEd customer,
mm-hmm.
and those rebates range from $5,000 to $180,000 per vehicle. So
no
$180,000 would be a rebate on a school vehicle for a low-income,
okay.
say, community or whatever.
Sure. Thanks for clarifying.
So it's you know that's a significant amount of money.
Now, substantial, for sure.
Those buses cost more.
That's
but,
right. That's right.
The point is look at it, see what your budget is, and see how this fits into it.
Right.
And right now those funds are good through 2026, and ComEd's upping that, they're trying to get extended another 2 years, which we'll know in March. So those are basically on the EV side, there's a lot of money available and you can stack those incentives, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, very helpful for sure, for sure.
So the next kind of group is the EV chargers.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that.
So you've got, sometimes they separate the charger from the infrastructure, because mm-hmm. they call the make-ready infrastructure. Sometimes it's together.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have, there's something called the Alternative Fuel Vehicle Infrastructure Tax Credits. You can get 6% up to $100,000 with a cap mm-hmm. or 30% up to $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for the total installed cost. That's right now set up to run through 2032, but it's focused on income qualified and rural communities.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily for everybody. Then there is the Illinois Electric Vehicle Charging Rebate Program, which will provide 80% of the funds, the total installed costs of the charger and the, you know, the infrastructure. But they've had two releases so far. They went quickly, and again, they come out. And when they come out, you have 30 to 60 days to apply, and they have focuses. Like one was targeting buses, another one was targeting DC fast charging, and that you, we don't know what the next one's going to be, but something to keep keep an eye out. And you can get a link and get a listserv if you wanted from the Illinois EPA's website. It's called the Driving Clean Illinois. You can get signed up, and they'll send you anytime there's new programs launched.
And are those incentives for, you know, private, you know, corporations?
It could be private or public.
Municipalities or public. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Depending on the definition of that particular tranche.
Mm-hmm.
So most of them, some of them have been private only.
Okay.
Some of them have been combined. So, it's, you know, TBD.
Gotcha. That's why I just think it's just, again, there's so much, and this, I'm so grateful for you and all of the knowledge that you share with our listeners, because it is definitely a big topic.
Mm-hmm. For and sure. It's a decision topic.
Yeah, for sure.
You don't go forward without it.
That's right.
Yeah. It's kind of a double-edged sword. If there aren't incentives, and for municipalities in particular, they won't act.
Right.
If there are, they may act. And businesses are a little different. You know, they if it makes sense for their business, they'll do it. But it will motivate them if there's incentives available.
So. Yeah, and remind me, we talked a little bit, in our prep for today's episode, we talked a little bit about financing for the municipalities. Do you want to touch upon that a little bit? Might be a good time to do that.
Yeah, there's a so what I've been talking about so far has been, you know, getting money, equity, mm-hmm. if you will, mm-hmm. Cash or tax credits or direct payments for tax credits for municipalities.
Mm-hmm.
There's also another side where you can borrow money.
Mm-hmm.
You can borrow money for the vehicles, for the infrastructure, and there are federal programs that the DOE has, as well as the state of Illinois. And both programs basically are low income or low interest level, you know, 2-3% on long term, 7 to 10 years.
Wow.
It's a good way to get money. And, you know, it's not like your lender's going to go anywhere.
Right.
You know, so the Illinois Climate Bank is the state of Illinois. It was part of the Climate Equitable Jobs Act to form it. It's up and running. And they've got a number of programs. You can go to their website and see. But they'll lend money against a project. You can still get rebates.
Mm-hmm.
And then the balance, perhaps, you can finance.
Mm-hmm. So. I love it. And, you know, I just think that this is still so relevant at this time. You know, again, it's a planning process. And you had just mentioned it, really, you know, to make sure that knowing all the, you know, avenues and pathways to funding and these incentives. It's such an important part of, you know, building the infrastructure that's happening right now that we're seeing everywhere. And it's still moving, you know, pretty much at a good pace. Anything else, Tim, that we can share? I really want to say thank you for sharing your wisdom and your time. But is there anything else we want to touch upon here before we close out?
A couple other programs that are probably relevant to the listeners. One is that ComEd has revised their residential EV charging program.
Oh, okay.
So it's been for the last couple of years, for low income, you can get $37.50 towards home EV charging and the infrastructure, you know, to tie it into your home.
Mm-hmm.
Now, starting January 1st, you can get $1,000 for basically anybody. Low income gets $37.50.
Mm-hmm.
So that's hopefully will motivate some people to buy EVs.
Sure.
I did some numbers. If you drive 12,000 miles a year and you compare the cost of gasoline plus compared against buying a new EV with incentives and an EV charger, you'll be money ahead after a year.
Yeah.
You know, so it's in my mind, it's kind of a no-brainer.
Well, it's definitely taking off because I did some checking myself, and I think as of the end of November here, 2024, there are over 18,000 EVs registered right here in DuPage County, which, you know, I I was surprised. I was like, wow, that's a lot. But then you told me there's over 130 throughout the state. Is that right?
Yeah, 130,000 in Illinois.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I think that's so fantastic. You know, so for our listeners, you know, I'm just saying now might be the time, or early 2025 might be the time for you to join the rest of these folks and take the next step towards sustainable transportation.
Yeah, a couple other things I just on the infrastructure side. So ComEd has another program which applies like multifamily dwellings and fleets where they will pay $5,330 per charging port.
Wow.
If you install the infrastructure, or if it's income eligible, it's $8,000. And that's a lot of money in that spectrum
because it certainly is.
It can cover a vast majority of that investment.
For sure.
So it's a really good program. And then two other programs, and I'll quiet up about all the programs. Anyways, people are concerned about range anxiety. That's
definitely
the number one concern of when you purchase an EV.
Yes.
And sure. So some of the programs I discussed, the Illinois program, the VW program, they will all build infrastructure. And a lot of this has to do with the DC fast charger. So you want to get those up because if you own an EV, you're probably charging at home. 90% of the people do.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not worried about if you're just going back and forth from home.
Sure. And short commutes.
Mm-hmm. Right. If you're traveling, you have to have that charger somewhere and you're going to want a fast charger. So the federal government is spending $5 billion across the country to make, fundamentally, if you look at a map of all the interstates, every 50 miles they'll have an EV charging location. Each has to have four high-powered charging ports. So the idea is we'll now have those
that network
up and running. And the government's going to pay 80% of those costs.
No kidding.
And Illinois is set to put in, I can't remember how many, but if you combine the federal with the state, it's a couple of thousand fast chargers in Illinois in the next 5 years. So at that point, the range anxiety goes away.
Definitely.
It's just like gasoline's everywhere.
Right.
And tied to that, there's another federal program called the Charging and Fueling Infrastructure, or CFI, program, which Illinois has received $30 million on so far, which is a combination of Level 2 and Level 3 that are local. So it's not on the interstates, it's local. And there's been a number of sites all around the state where, we're building up the infrastructure. And there's another program that will be probably the results announced, I don't know, March or April.
Okay.
So more chargers.
Yep. Yep. And I just, you know, again, that's just, we talked about it throughout this year. That is probably the number one thing that I still hear is the range anxiety. So it's good to hear that it's, you know, that plan is in place and we're moving towards seeing that network come to fruition. Well, wonderful, Tim. Thank you so much again for stopping by and for sharing all this information. And we're going to, you know, wrap up and close out. Anything else you want to share?
Yeah, I just want to kind of impress upon people who are thinking of applying.
Yeah, you know, please do.
Basically, you may want to ask for help. You know, IACT is a good place. I can certainly help.
Mm-hmm.
There are companies that's what they do. But certainly you can educate yourself. I went through a kind of a quick version of all these programs. But if you find one that applies to what you want to do, look at the term. You know, when is it available? How much? And, you know, figure out your budget. Are there vehicles available that work for you? So that when – because a lot of these things are annualized or they just pop up and they're gone, know what you need. And so have that plan kind of in the drawer so that when it happens, you can make sense of it and you can apply – hopefully early on, because these funding pools can dry up.
Yep, dry up for sure. And the planning piece is huge for sure. And, you know, definitely at Power Forward DuPage, we know there are no shortcuts, Tim, when designing and planning those electrical systems. And we know that one of the most critical factors in selecting an EV charging system for your home is the use of a highly qualified and licensed electrical contractor.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something that when you're doing the planning, you should have a good understanding. Again, you may reach out to third parties, but what are the applicable codes? It's specifically National Electric Code. There's some new things coming out related to EV charging. Also, you know, new technologies like vehicle to grid and plug-in charge, where your charger knows you.
Does it say hi, Tim?
They probably will do that. And also the Illinois Energy Conservation Code is going to have a role. And then finally, in some situations, you may want to be looking at America for Disability Act consideration. So all these things may come into your planning, and I just like people think about that as they go.
Definitely, definitely. I appreciate you so much and all the information that you bring each time you come. And for the most complete directory of electrical contractors in northeastern Illinois, please visit our website and we will power forward together. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Karen.
You've been listening to All Charged Up with me, Karen Charvat of Power Forward DuPage. Power Forward DuPage represents over 300 of the most highly sought after electrical contractors in the Chicagoland area. We support the electrical contracting industry here in DuPage County, Illinois, and act as a resource for its municipalities, businesses, and residents. Find us at powerforwarddupage.com. And until next time, keep powering through.